Thorny, as we venture into the R&R, two truths are consistent. We love our dear Montana state, and we love great beer. And you know who else feels the same? Jeremiah Johnson Brewing. Brewed in the heart of Montana in downtown Great Falls, Jeremiah Johnson takes Montana's finest ingredients to craft some of Montana's favorite beers. And now, Jeremiah Johnson's second tap room is open in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Their Citra IPA is probably one of my favorites, but we all know, Thorny, you're not the hop lover I am. You're more of a mountain man Scotch ale.
Well, Foley, I'm certainly not a mountain man, but you are right. I do love their mountain man Scotch ale. But come game day, you and I are both cracking their Golden Bobcat Pale Ale. So when you're looking for a quality craft beer brewed with Montana roots, a relaxing tap room, or just a six-pack to take to your favorite Bobcat tailgate, Jeremiah Johnson delivers. Make your next beer a Jeremiah Johnson, and as always, go Cats.
Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right. Welcome back, Bobcat fans, to another episode of the R&R CatCast. Thanks for joining us. My name is Ryan Foley. Across from me, cracking beers, is Ryan Thornburg. We are part of the Big Sky Podcast Network, the Montana State affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network. And we are happy to be sponsored by Jeremiah Johnson Brewing, brewing dank beers in downtown Great Falls with a second tap room over in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hey, it is back. I thought about it yesterday. I listened to our episode as it came back. I was like, I got to bring it back. Dank beers is back.
Thank you.
All right, hey, this episode is a special episode, something Ryan and I are just fortunate enough to be part of because we brought on a guest, Colby Peterson of the Weber State Weekly, the Wildcat affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network, is going to join us on just kind of a little bit interview on how this game is going to go over in Ogden this week, and so we'll get right into that right now.
Well, all right. Now we welcome in Colby Peterson of the Weber State Weekly podcast and website. What else do you guys do besides just the podcast? You guys do some written content. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, last season we had a lot of recruiting content and our guy AC kind of headed that up. But he's been super busy lately, been doing some other things. So we haven't been able to do that. Plus, I've had some changes in my life. But yeah, I want to get back to that for sure. But written content, yeah, we tried to do. And I think we might do some more video in the future. But yeah, it's just all extra on top of the podcast.
Yeah, you guys do the podcast. You do like live reaction video shows on like Facebook and all that stuff. And that's pretty cool. And, you know, we really like what you guys do. It's good stuff.
Yeah, we have a good time for sure. And it helps having a stable of guys too, though. You know, it's just you two guys. So I can understand where it's like, oh, we just don't have the time, you know? I feel that.
It does get challenging sometimes. That's for sure. Well, thank you for taking some of your time to come on our podcast and help Bobcat fans get to know a little bit more about Weber State. It's been a few years since we played.
Yeah, man. It's been, I think last time we saw you guys was 19 in
18.
At Stewart Stadium, or was it 18?
It was 18, yeah.
18 was the dreaded, the broken leg game.
Oh, yes. Ugh. Yeah, thanks for, I'm sure you don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. And that was a nasty injury, and that was no fun for anybody. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. We were sitting in the stands when that happened. It was like, oh my gosh, horrific.
Who is that quarterback again? What was his name?
Oh, man, I'm trying to remember. Oh my gosh, how am I forgetting? Because he was serviceable, and he was the backup behind Jake Constantine. And he ended up basically having to retire not too long after that. He just couldn't play. But yeah.
Well, we'll get to the quarterback situation because if there's any team in the conference that's had a weirder path of quarterbacks than Montana State, Weber State would be the one. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Foley, where do you want to start with this? What's the first question you asked Colby here?
Yeah, so I was just looking through our questions. I'm going to take one that I wrote. I just want to know, how do Weber fans view Montana State fans? And the the crux of this question is I always think that most teams in the Big Sky think that Montana is their rival because, right, Montana is everybody's rival. But what do they think about Montana State?
So I'll just kind of speak from my own personal experience interacting with Montana State fans. Couple of years up in Boise, getting to know guys who were around for the conference tournament and hoops. And my sense of Montana State fans is like, it's kind of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of a thing where it's like, hey, yeah, you know, you guys are up there in Bozeman and it's good times up there. We see each other every once in a while. It's not really a lot of animosity, I don't think, between the two. And obviously, we both don't like what goes on in Missoula. So, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit before we hit record about how the Grizz have definitely kept the Wildcats from a few conference tournaments. And you obviously have an in-state rivalry with them. And so a little bit of friendship, some commiseration over some broken hearts for sure at times. So, yeah, I think overall, I don't think there's a lot of animosity between the two fan bases. I think there was a lot of respect, especially for Coach Jeff Choate and what he was doing up in Bozeman. A lot of respect for, you know, what he was doing, especially his performance in Cat Grizz, right? Just absolutely phenomenal. And I think maybe a little bit of love, too, because after the Wildcats lost to Montana and Missoula in 2019, needed a little bit of help to get a conference championship. And the Bobcats were there to provide that. So appreciate you folks for doing that.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome on that one. Yeah. Jeff Choate, I think, also had a lot of admiration for Jay Hill. I think they're very similar-minded coaches in how they approach a lot of different things. So I know that was certainly his viewpoint on Jay Hill. Before we get anything too specific, just kind of what's the mood down in Ogden right now? How are the Weber State fans feeling about the team heading into this game?
So I would say it's a little bit desperate, right? I mean, you folks have been watching from Bozeman. You guys have a really good team this year. Vegan coming in and taking a team that was already a semifinalist and not playing in the spring, but, you know, getting things ready for the fall, I think has really paid dividends for the Bobcats. And for the Wildcats down in Ogden, we did play in the spring, had a couple of injuries, but I think that the Wildcats are getting healthy for the most part. We're hearing that Desmond Williams, who is our safety transfer from Boise State, has been really good for us, but tore an ACL earlier in the spring, might be coming back for some reps soon, maybe in the next couple of weeks. So good to hear things like that, but a price to be paid for the spring. And so for the Wildcats and Wildcat fans in Ogden right now, a little bit of desperation, maybe even a little bit down on the team because of losses to JMU, not having the performance that they had hoped for in a game that was very much hyped. And then the next week losing to Davis, who is a team that we normally beat, even in a close game. But losing to Davis, I think the way that the Wildcats did really kind of was a gut punch for a lot of Wildcat fans because letting them score a touchdown in the fourth quarter with seconds left was just like, what is this? Normally the Wildcats hang their hat on this defense and they ended up giving up this touchdown and losing the game when they should have won. And so just a little bit of a somber mood. And like I said, a little bit of desperation because should the Wildcats lose this game to the Bobcats on Friday night on ESPNU, I think that their playoff chances are done because the odds that they beat Eastern Washington, number two in the country right now, in Cheney the following week are those are probably slim odds.
Yeah, I didn't quite realize that Weber State's next game was Eastern Washington. That's a tough little stretch there.
Sure is.
How would you say that the injuries have kind of factored into the, you know, kind of the slower start for the Wildcats? You think that's part of the problem?
Well, certainly, right? Especially injuries at the quarterback position. Bronson Barron starting against Utah. No one expected the Wildcats to win that game. I think that they performed reasonably well against a team that actually is kind of down this year. Utah has not been good, although they did have a good game against USC in the Coliseum on Saturday. But quarterback position injuries have been definitely an issue. Bronson Barron, the starter, has been out since the Dixie State game, which was week two. And then Kylan Weiser comes in, does his best, and I think he performed admirably, but then breaks his leg in the Cal Poly game because his foot got stuck in the turf. You know what I mean?
Oh,
just unlucky, right? And then so yeah. It's like, okay, we have Randall Johnson, who has really not performed very well, holds on to the ball maybe a little bit too long. Doesn't make decisions quite quickly enough. And then you've got a true freshman in Creighton Cooper who really hasn't been tested, has only been put in certain packages. So injuries at the quarterback position have been really, really difficult. Plus, we had some offensive linemen. The Itagi brothers were out. And then And then Ben Bose, Ty Whitworth, who was out for a little bit, an All-American on the offensive line. So definitely been an impact on the way that the offense is run. And especially at a place like Weber, offense has not been a strong suit for the Wildcats for basically since Jay Hill's been the coach.
So coming off the bye then, is there any injuries that have been resolved?
So what we're hearing is that Bronson Barron will play. That's the news that we're sort of getting from Jay Hill. So that should be good because you have your most experienced quarterback coming in and taking the reins back of the offense. I mentioned Desmond Williams already. I don't think he will play. I think it's a little too early, but it's nice to hear that he's getting back. And then, like I mentioned, the Itagi brothers had been out. I think Noah was out a little bit longer than Ethan. Those guys are both from Ogden. They played at Bonneville High School, so they're local guys. But getting them back has been really helpful. And just having a couple of weeks to continue to heal up, even though they did play at Cal Poly, I think is going to make a difference. And then aside from that, I think that the Wildcats should be pretty good when it comes to injuries. There's basically, unless Bronson Barron gets hurt again, there's almost no reason to point to injuries as a reason to lose this game. I think the Wildcats are probably as healthy as they've been for a little while. So we're just going to have to see how things play out.
While we're kind of on the subject of Bronson Barron, what does he bring to the table? And are you concerned anything about some rust? He only played in two games before he was hurt. Is that correct? Or was he hurt in his second game?
No, you're right. He did only played in two. Really, it's kind of like one and a half because he got injured early in the third quarter of the Dixie State game, had to come out. And so then they put in Weiser to back him up. And Johnson got some looks there. Actually, it was more Johnson than anything in that game because I remember thinking, oh, maybe Johnson actually could be good against JMU the following week. And that was not the case in the first half. They benched him at halftime and put Kylan Weiser in. So it looks like there could be some concerns with rust. But like I said, Bronson Barron did start all the games in the spring. I'm pretty sure all of them. I don't think he got injured there. No, he did get injured in the NAU game, but he did have some playing time. And so I think that there's less risk of rust coming off because he's been out for maybe, you know, about a month, maybe a little more than that. So there is some concern there, but Barron is a quarterback that is able to, my experience watching him in the spring, he took fairly good care of the ball. He's had a couple of miscues this season, but some of those were sort of unlucky. Like there was a pick in the Dixie State game where his arm got bumped as he went to go throw the ball, and maybe, you know, a better decision needed to be made there where he shouldn't have thrown it. And then also playing against Utah, there was a pass where he had threw it to Randall Grimes, and Grimes went to catch the ball, ended up popping up, bouncing off of a defender's head, and then another defender caught the ball for the pick. You know, just kind of an unlucky bounce there. Normally a guy who takes care of the ball fairly well. So we'll see if rust is a factor for Barron. And I should note that the Wildcats are usually not very good coming in off the bye week. We have traditionally struggled to get back on track. It's a question that Jay Hill has gotten in preseason press conferences about how the Wildcats were going to address that differently. So we'll see if things change this year. But traditionally, no, the Wildcats have struggled coming off the bye. And so maybe rust all around. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, this is probably the first year that they're coming off a bye needing to get right instead of rolling and kind of derailing the momentum. Is that, would that be an accurate assessment?
Yeah, because usually those losses sort of came at inopportune times. Like I can remember in 2017, they came in off the bye and then lost to Southern Utah at home. And it was just a really annoying loss because the Wildcats definitely should have won that game and then didn't. And then we ended up having to play Southern Utah down at SUU in the quarterfinals that year. No, it was the second round. It wasn't the quarters quite yet. And ended up just absolutely walloping them. But if they had taken care of business in the first place, we would have been the conference champs, and SUU probably would have had to come back to Ogden to play again.
I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about your running backs, because I know Montana State's going to key in on stopping the run. And you guys have a tandem over there. So tell us a little bit about Josh Davis and Dante McMillan.
So, like I said, the Bobcats are very, very good at stopping the run thus far. You know, looking at some of the stats before preparing for this interview, I mean, the Bobcats, I think, let me double check here, but in terms of rushing defense, they're right up there at number two in the conference. They do a really good job of stopping the run. so far only allowing 117 yards a game on the ground. And especially with the woes that the Wildcats have had throwing the ball, if they aren't able to get that going soon, it could be a very long day for the Wildcats. And so talking a little bit about Josh Davis and Dante McMillan, I think is more traditional and a complete back. He's a guy who's, you know, he's got a little bit of power. He can definitely run through the tackles. Josh Davis seems to do best when he's able to kind of get around and be kind of slippery, like maybe like Barry Sanders-ish, where he can get out in the open and make guys miss. That's where Josh Davis seems to do well. He doesn't seem to do well when he just like wants to run up the middle and have to get through the backers, because that can cause him a lot of problems. He's not a very big dude. You know, he's just not. But he's really slippery, and he's able to get it. If you look at some of the stats, I think Dante McMillan actually has 100 yards more than Josh Davis on about the same attempts. So that kind of gives you a sense of the kind of back that Dante McMillan is. Kind of a power back. And if you look back at the game against SUU in the spring between Weber State and the Thunderbirds, because I know that we had somebody on this podcast was a temporary Thunderbirds fan.
Yeah, that was me. That was me.
McMillan really kind of took that game over in the second half, and really he made an impact. And so two different styles of running, but both very effective in certain packages.
Now, do they split carries by design, or has it been more of a situation where Josh Davis has been hurt? I know he's had a kind of a history of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the case, right? Looking back to a number of games Josh Davis has missed because of injury. I think he ended up getting a concussion in the Montana game in 2019, the first one where the Wildcats played in Missoula. Definitely a history of injury there. And so sometimes I think that it is, and I also think, though, that it depends on effectiveness. I think that if Josh Davis is effective early and he's moving the chains for the Wildcats, they'll continue to do what works. But if things aren't maybe working, maybe the defense is a little too cued in on what Josh can do and what his strengths are, they'll try something in Dante McMillan and they'll split some time. But like as the game wears on, I think that you'll see one more than the other get more of the carries. So it just kind of depends. But I think that that's how the Wildcats usually handle those situations.
So let's switch over to the defense a little bit. Just kind of a general question. How do you think the Wildcat defense is going to game plan against the Bobcat offense?
So the number one thing that you have to consider when you're going to play a team like Montana State right now is that they run the ball extremely well. Isaiah Fonse is one of the premier backs in the league, right? I think we can all agree. And so if the Wildcats are going to be effective at stopping Montana State's offense, they absolutely have to do something to contain Ifanse. Because if they don't, it is going to be a very, very difficult game. I think that the Wildcats have the secondary to keep Matt McKay in check because, I mean, kudos to him because thus far he's only thrown one pick this season. So he takes care of the ball really well, makes smart decisions. And if the Wildcats are able to get maybe a little bit of pressure on him, maybe that changes. But it depends because he seems like he's got a really cool and level head. And I don't know. And in the past, the Wildcats have been able to sort of scheme for high-flying quarterbacks, but I really think that the key to this game is doing everything they can to keep the run game in check, because if they're running straight up the middle and getting 4 or 5 yards basically whenever they want, that's not a recipe for success if you're Weber State. You're going to lose.
Now, Weber State employed a lot of man-to-man coverage, right?
So for the most part, right, yeah. But I think that there are also definitely some packages where you'll see Preston Smith in the secondary come over. Jay Hill's defense is very much everyone do your job kind of a thing. And so there are definitely a lot of man coverages, and the Wildcats feel that they have the talent to match up with most teams, and so they're going to let them go out there. One thing that really stood out to me was the fact that I think one of our premier cornerbacks is a guy named Eddie Heckard, who I think has an opportunity to maybe get drafted and follow in the footsteps of Taron Johnson. Thus far, Eddie Heckard does not have an interception this season. And I wonder if that's a function of he's just playing such good coverage that the quarterback is checking somebody else and throwing it, because his teammate Jacoby Harris, who is now no longer with the team, has two interceptions leading the league or leading the team. Or is it just an opportunity hasn't taken advantage? I don't know. But thus far, I think that the Wildcats have the secondary to do their best to keep the ball in Matt McKay's hands. and maybe there's an opportunity for the defensive ends to get to him. I guess we'll see how it shakes out.
One last question I have on the defense. It's been a while since I've watched like a full Weber State game. Is Weber State a team that blitzes a lot, sends a lot of pressure, or do they just rely on the talent of their front seven and the front four to kind of get it done?
So I would say that they blitz less than Montana. Watching that Montana EWU
game,
blitzes
less than Montana.
Yeah, I was stunned at how often they blitzed. I was like, oh my gosh, they're just
85% of the time,
every single play. I would say that the Wildcats definitely blitz a lot less often than that. An interesting wrinkle to this game, I think, is the fact that Jay Hill has actually turned the defense over to a couple of other coaches. And normally Jay Hill was the one that called the defense and did all that stuff. But he's sort of giving some of that responsibility to some of the other coaches. And I think trying to figure out the woes on the offense with offensive coordinator Matt Hammer. So I think that the Wildcats will definitely blitz, but it doesn't feel like they blitz more than the average team. I mean, I don't have the numbers on that, but it doesn't feel inordinate.
No, those numbers are like impossible to find at the Big Sky level, like blitz percentages.
Yeah, and it's like I said, that's totally my perception of watching the game, feeling like, it's a blitz. Okay, cool. Like,
your best source for that kind of stuff is going to be someone like you who watches all the games and just has an idea. Like, yeah, they blitz a fair amount, like a normal amount of blitzing.
That's what it feels like to me.
All right, Colby, I only have one more question for you, and that is, what is going to be the key things that Weber needs to do in order to pull a victory out in Ogden?
So I think that there are a couple things. We've already talked about one, and it is doing their very best to contain the run game. Montana State, very, very effective on the ground. And if they don't do their best to keep Isaiah Fonse, I don't think they're going to shut him down. He's too powerful for that. But I think that if they can game plan for him the way that maybe they have with other backs in the conference like Alonzo Gilliam, that maybe they'll have a chance. But I also, looking through some of the numbers, I think that special teams is an opportunity for the Wildcats because special teams, I was looking through some of the numbers for the conference and I didn't see a lot of Montana State guys in the top 10 in some of those numbers like returns and stuff like that. And so we obviously have a guy named Rashid Shaheed who is absolutely deadly in the conference. He's right up there with Flowers from Montana. And that could be an opportunity for the Wildcats to maybe, if the offense is sputtering, to put some points on the board with good special teams play. But at the same time, looking at some of the other statistics for special teams, you guys have a great kicker. And so I don't think he's missed this year, has he?
He's missed two.
I think he has two misses.
And
two misses.
At least one of those was blocked, if not both those were blocked. Now, Weber State, are they only like 3 of 6 on the air? Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, Kyle Thompson is 3 of 6 this year. And I think he's working some things out. But I think that's a liability for the Wildcats because missing field goals is not a good recipe. And so, like I said, in terms of punt returns and kick returns, there's an opportunity. But on those field goals, if they're coming up short, if Kyle Thompson's missing, and I think it's supposed to be a kind of, I think there's supposed to be some weather on Friday night in Ogden, so that could be a factor as well. But for the Wildcats to win, I think that, they have to be able to contain the run game, take opportunities on special teams, and to be honest, guys, get back to traditional Weber State football and create turnovers. That is not something the Wildcats have done this year, and they really got to do it. But they got to watch out because Montana State has been very good at creating turnovers this year. So Montana State could be very much playing Weber State's game against itself if they're not careful.
Yeah, it could definitely be a turnover special teams game type. Those are the key things that are going to determine who wins the game.
Thank you, man. I think you might be right.
So I'm definitely afraid of Shaheed. It's something that talked to Coach Vegan after, I think it was on Monday, they mentioned him.
I think it was the press conference, the Monday presser.
Yeah, Coach was kind of dismissive about it. He's like, you know, Montana, we've been pretty good in covering. They asked if they were going to kick away from Rashid, and he was like, he kind of just gave a dismissive, nah, not really. Well, we'll see what happens kind of deal. And Vegan's very, very dismissive and bland about a lot of things he says. So, but I was like, man, I don't know if you know about this guy, Coach, but then today in the cat chat, I was listening to him and he kind of expounded on it just a little bit more. But man, yeah, if we're punting and kicking off to Rashid, That scares me. It really does because
I'm sure he saw the Utah real deal. I saw the Utah film. I was watching that game.
Dang.
Yeah. And so I think that maybe what might happen is that, you know, obviously it seems like Coach Vegan is playing it very close to the chest right now. He's saying, oh, of course, we recognize that this person's a threat, but, you know, he's not necessarily saying, oh, we're going to kick away from him. And so they might play it the way that JMU did, where JMU started the game by kicking to Shahid. A number of really good returns, didn't run anything back on them necessarily, like in the Utah game, but some really good returns, giving the Wildcats opportunities with good field position. And then I think in the second half, they really started to kick the ball away from him and put it in the hands of others like Hayes Hadley or somebody else, Hudson Skank. So it's just, we'll see how the game goes. You know, they may change up midstream because they feel like, yeah, this guy's kind of hurting us. We need to switch things up.
All right. Rashid, definitely someone to keep an eye on. And you know what, Colby, I think that's all of our questions for you. I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate being able to have the opportunity to come and talk to you guys. I think that's what the Big Sky Podcast Network is all about. So being able for us to talk about our teams like this and, you know, kind of hash things out, we're looking forward to the opportunity to having you guys on Weber State Weekly as well to talk a lot more about what the Montana State Bobcats bring to Ogden on Friday, because this is a big one and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Where can our listeners find the Weber State Weekly stuff?
So if you're interested and you want to know more, usually we have a game day show. So if you're a podcast listener, you can go to search Weber State Weekly in your podcast feed, pretty much wherever you want to get them. That's Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever. And then, of course, like you noted at the top, Thorny, we do have a website that's WeberStateWeekly.com. You can check it out. We've got some older blog content there. But then check our social media channels because we've got some videos of... Like you noted, we do live streams usually, and so if you're not a person who wants to listen to on the podcast, you can watch the show. We had defensive end George Tarlis on the show this week talking to us a little bit about the pass rush and kind of getting back to Wildcat football because, as I noted, things have been a little bit down in that department. So check out that good stuff, and looking forward to having you guys on as well.
Yeah, should be fun. Looking forward to it too as well. All right. Thanks, Colby.
Thanks, Colby.
All right, thanks, fellas.
All right. Well, thanks again to Colby Peterson for coming on from the Weber State Weekly podcast. We really appreciate it. I believe that's the first time that we've had someone else from the network come on to actually preview a game. I know we had Brent Wahlberg on to talk about North Dakota State in 2019. I think it's the first person we've had to come on. So I really appreciate him coming on. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Colby's a good guy. He has a great voice, great talker.
I'm pretty sure everyone's got better right now from us than we do.
He's a good guy. And he's a Brewers fan. He's an NL Central fan. So I kind of feel bad for him. The Braves took it to them in the NLDS. So I'm sure he's licking his wounds right now.
Baseball.
Baseball.
I'm an Orioles fan. I don't have any wounds.
You have gashes.
I'm just dead. I'm just always dead. Wounds are required to be alive to have.
All right. Hey, Thorny, let's give our thoughts on this upcoming Weber game, and we'll call good after that.
First thing I want to do, let's address the elephant in the room. How do you feel about coming off of a short week with Weber State coming off of a bye week? I know Colby talked about how Weber State has traditionally struggled off the bye week. I don't know if we've ranted about this yet, or I don't even know if you want to rant. I don't know if your feelings on it, but just your first thoughts. How big of an advantage do you think that is, or is it even an advantage at all?
Geez, I don't really feel much about it, to be honest with you, Ryan. When I first was thinking about it a couple weeks ago, Bill Lamberty brought it up, and I think he was just kind of sore on the subject. Like, man, you know, Montana State gets jobbed again in this scheduling that we have. Well, and like you've said in the last couple weeks, it is what it is. Just take it with stride and just keep going. Some teams use the buys to come out stronger. And some teams use buys, and it just kind of really messes them up. And Colby said they've kind of had some trouble coming off a bye. So as a Bobcat fan, I kind of hope that happens, but I guess I feel a little indifferent about it.
If the shoes were reversed, I don't know. It's almost better to be in the middle of, if you got something rolling, keep it rolling. It does suck that it's a Friday. I don't care that they're coming off a bye week. It's just kind of interesting that it's on a short week. But we took care of business against Cal Poly. We got our guys rested as you possibly can. I'm okay with it. I was grumpy about it initially, but I'm thinking I'm with you. I'm at peace with it. It is whatever. If you're a good football team, you're going to win the football game anyway, or you're going to be able to overcome those kinds of things. So it is what it is. I think it's just Big Sky Conference just needs to be careful of that moving forward, because I don't think it's fair to put any team in the position that the Bobcats are in.
So a thought on it as you were talking. So you know I'm a fan of the Tour de France, right?
Sure do, yeah.
I'm going to make a little parallel here. I listened to Lance...
Relatable.
Lance Armstrong's podcast, the daily podcast, The Move, on the tour. And interesting thing about the tour, is a 21-day race, and they have two rest days. And these guys are cycling like at least 100 miles on average a day. And you would think that these rest days, these two rest days would be just like, just the savior for these guys. And Lance would talk about it when he was winning. That's debatable, right? I mean, he won them. We're not going to go down that path. But when Radio Shack and when they were winning the races, that on these rest days, they wouldn't rest. They would just keep charging, because his theory was like, you know, an object at rest stays at rest, an object in motion stays in motion. And so for Montana State, they've just been rolling, and it's just going to continue. So this kind of mantra of just keep going, well, maybe that's good for Montana State, because we've had a lot of success in the first six games. And maybe that's good for Montana State, because we're just already in that movement. We are already...
Momentum.
Just rolling. Yeah, we have that momentum going right now. And so maybe that's an advantage for Montana State.
Yeah. Very well could be. Just the first question I had to get out of the way before we start actually talking some football.
All right.
Where do you want to start? What's the first thing you want to talk about? It's kind of a free flowing section here, kind of like most of our previews are. What worries you most about Weber State? Let's go there.
The fact that we really struggle with Weber State in general. Man, so it's been since 2013 since we won. I think that was Daenerys McGee's senior year. Is that right, Ryan?
13?
Regardless, it's been a while since we've been down to Ogden and won. I really thought 2 years ago in 2018, or 3 years ago now, in Jeff Choate's era, I thought that was going to be a time where we could overcome. And Weber just kept bringing it, right? So it's Weber's been... kind of a thorn in our side. They've out-physicaled us. They're big dudes traditionally, because they're typically a little bit older. And Jay Hill just has those guys playing like dogs. And so, like, this game really stresses me out. I remember all of last week, I texted you and I said, I can't even focus on Cal Poly because I keep thinking about Weber.
Yeah, that's right.
These kind of games literally keep me up. They really do. I just sit in bed and I think about Montana State football like a stupid fan I am, and I worry about this kind of stuff. Yeah, Weber is a big game. Not only that, we talked about it on Monday. It's a national televised game. Those have not gone well for the Cats. And so Weber being hard, televised game, it's just kind of like these things that have been against Montana State that we just haven't, I don't know, just done well in. So what are your thoughts?
Just another opportunity to get some more monkeys off our back, if you will. We had started doing that like last year or last 2019, whatever. Obviously new coaching staff or anything, but we got it rolling right now. So it's an opportunity, but you're right. It's like, if you start looking at all the confluence of things that are happening, like this points poorly for Montana State. And Colby was just talking about there could be some weather. I don't think the Bobcats have played in any sort of weather this year, like any negative weather. It's been like 70 and sunny everywhere the Bobcats have played. So I guess it was pretty windy one of the games. But, I mean, that could be a factor too. Yeah, I mean, Jay Hill has just had everyone's number for a number of years, but especially the Bobcats. And, you know, I don't think he's lost. Has he lost to the Bobcats? Because he started in 2014.
He might have one loss.
Might have one loss. But either way, he's got it rolling there. And I'm hopeful that One of the things I'm hopeful for is the fact that basically Montana State and Weber State under Jeff Choate, Montana State, played a very similar game. And that's the problem we ran into when we played North Dakota State, is that they just were better at that game than us. And I think Weber State was in that same boat too. And I'm really hopeful now that the Cats are a bit more diverse, not so one-dimensional, but still maintaining a lot of that elements of physicality, that things are going to change and we're going to break through on that. So that's where I land on the being able to get that monkey off the back. To wrap up that ramble.
Well, you know, the new coaching staff doesn't know anything about our past traditions of losing to Weber or sure. losing in spotlight games.
This is a game where I think Housewright and Freddie Banks can actually really prove their worth here. Because I think the games against, like, you know, it's just they're going to be more schematic. They're going to be more adjusting. They're going to look at film and try and take advantage of things, I think, more than we have in the past. So I think that could be something certainly for a benefit for the Bobcats, an advantage.
I kind of feel like this game is going to craft the narrative around our coaching staff. I feel like people will take this game and they will use it in greater importance than the first six games that we've played. So let's say Vegan does well. They're going to be like, oh yeah, Vegan is the man. Let's say we struggle in some area, to be like, oh man, you know, that coach is not that good. Am I wrong here?
I think you're wrong on the latter. I don't think if we lose this game, barring we get crushed, I don't think it really changes the narrative so much. I think people are still on the Vegan train. You lose one game on a road game against the defending conference champs. I mean, you're the one that told me that that people are going to call for someone to be fired after the Wyoming game. Not a single mention of the word. I don't think people are going to react that negatively to a loss in this game. Now, if he wins, I think there will be some definitely overreactions in terms of like the first time against Weber, he got the win. I mean, already better than previous staff. But I don't think it's going to go too poorly if we lose the game in close fashion.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Colby, but just the Montana State version of it. What's the keys for Montana State to win this game?
Man, I wrote down a whole bunch of them. Let's see. We talked a little bit with Colby. Special teams battle. We just basically can't give up a touchdown to Rashid Shaheed or anybody else. We can't have a blocked punt for a touchdown. We just can't give up any sort of special teams touchdown. I think that's one of the key battles, because I think Weber State's going to have a hard time generating points offensively, so we can't give them points anywhere else.
All right, keep going, man. Hit me with
them. Keep going. All right. Got to win the time of possession battle, or at least be even to it. Weber, I think, is pretty good at controlling the clock and the time of possession. I think MSU hasn't been as great because we don't have long sustained drives this year. We tend to score relatively quick when we do. So I just think having that relatively even, because our offense has to have opportunities, and we can't give Weber's offense the opportunity to wear down our defense. So I just think, you know, that's going to be a big key, is keeping that time of possession battle relatively even. One or two minutes either direction, I think it'd be okay. Turnovers, obviously, huge, huge importance here. Talked about with Colby as well. Bobcats have only turned the ball over two times, I believe. So we got to keep that going. And we got to keep creating turnovers. We don't need four interceptions, but, you know, one or two key turnovers would be huge. Do you want to talk about Jay Hill's turnover comment right now? I'm giving you the floor. You've been ranting and raving about it all night.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, so there's an article that came out. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking at it. It was from the Standard Examiner, which is something I've never heard of. I would imagine it's a local paper in Ogden, written by Brett Hine. Anyways, title of the article says, "Turnovers Take Spotlight as Weber State Football Hosts Montana State." The gist of the article talks about, you know, how Weber really hasn't created turnovers and that used to be a staple of their program. But the last line kind of caught me and gave me a little bit of a laugh and a little bit of a fire in my belly, because it says this, and this is Jay Hill quoting, You wonder why they're 5-1, but their turnovers are coming, I promise.
So, to be fair, you wonder why they're 5-1. I'm pretty sure there's an ellipsis in there, right? I'm pretty sure that means there was other words said after that. I think it was cut for editorial purposes. It can't be that simple. He can't have just said, you wonder why they're 5-1. Like, I just don't see any coach saying that, especially like a Jay Hill, but it reads that way. Reads that way. But then he definitely makes that bold claim that there's going to be some turnovers, though. He did make that claim that there's no other way to read that.
I promise, he says. I promise.
He promises.
I just thought that was just like, wow. That takes a little bit of balls right there to say it. I promise. And does he mean from them? Does he just mean in general? I don't know.
The Bobcats will turn the ball over at some point this year, I promise. He's probably right.
There you go, Jay. So, I don't know. Anyways, read it as you want. Be offended if you want to be offended, or brush it off if you don't really care. But it's kind of fun as fans just to hype it up a little bit.
Keys. Do you want me to keep going on my keys then? Or are you going to just make me talk this entire episode?
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about playing in the fourth quarter, because I think that's going to be something I'm going to watch out for. Montana State has not really had to extend themselves in the games so far. And, you know, that's been a good thing because we've been able to rest our starters for quite a bit. And we've come half of the season with, you know, pretty healthy squad. This game is not going to be like that. I think this game is going to be a battle. I would be shocked if this is, you know, follows the same narrative that the previous five have. I'd love that. Like, if we were up 28, like 7 going into half, that'd be awesome, you know, and then put it on them in the third quarter. I don't expect that to happen.
No.
So I kind of expect a low-scoring game, maybe. Kind of more of a physical game than the traditional Montana State-Weber game. And I just don't know how our starters are going to look come fourth quarter. I think we're going to do fine, but that's just maybe being optimistic. So it's kind of a question mark for me.
I don't think conditioning or anything like that is going to be a problem necessarily, but I think it's going to be the mental aspect of being in a dogfight where we've had that. I mean, we've had a couple. There was the Wyoming game, which obviously we lost, but we had to come back in the fourth quarter to beat Portland State. We've been tested a couple times, but it hasn't been anything too substantial. And so, I mean, yeah, the fourth quarter is going to be very interesting to watch. If it's a close game going in the fourth quarter, how do the Bobcats respond?
No doubt. I'm excited for it. I mean, this is a great matchup. This is a top 25 matchup. It's everything Montana State wants. It can totally affirm the trajectory of our team. But, like, if we lose, I keep waffling on this. Is it, like, devastating? I'm not really sure. I think it could almost be galvanizing if we lose this game.
Yeah, I could see that aspect of it, too. Is it Idaho State next week? Back at home?
Yeah.
So, yeah, a loss in this game will definitely galvanize the team, and certainly I think the Idaho State game would be a get-right game, but you know, that's kind of what happened, I guess, in 2019. We lost that North Dakota game. Things kind of came to a head. All the ugliness that was plaguing the Bobcats for the first half of the year boiled over, and then we just kind of figured things out after that. So it could be another situation if we do lose the game where we kind of get things back on track and get going. But this isn't the arc of the season's not going that way. We're cruising right now. We're playing very, very good football. It remains to be seen if the Bobcats can play their best football in November, which is what you always want to be doing in a playoff format like the FCS. But right now we're playing great, and I think we can continue that at Weber State. I really do.
I really hope so. All right, Thorny, what else do you got for us, buddy? Any other keys that you want to key in on?
I mean, this kind of goes back to the time of possession thing, and kind of the general theme of things is the, you know, win the field position battle. This goes with special teams. It goes with time of possession. But, you know, make Weber State go the length of the field. Make them start on their own 20, 25, even the 30-yard line. Weber State doesn't have a dynamic, high-flying offense. Like, don't give them a short field. That's how they're going to score. You got to make them go 60, 70, 80 yards to have and hopefully keep them out of the red zone and force them into field goals where they're only 3 for 6 on there. They've only attempted 6 and they've only hit half of them. So if you can hold Weaver to field goal attempts, you're going to be in pretty good shape to win that game.
Think we're going to have to play awesome special teams. We're going to have to kick away from Rashid Shaheed or make sure that we are in good coverage. Just like Coach Vegan says, that guy gives me like the cold sweats thinking about him. So,
I really want him to run into Daniel Hardy. Daniel Hardy is crushed like a kick returner in like 2 or 3 straight games.
Oh man.
I'm hoping it happens again.
Yeah. I think just kind of a summation thought for me. The Cats are going to need like 2 turnovers. I think the Cats are going to have to play with momentum. I want to see us get in a fight and then scrap and then prove a little bit of metal. I mean, we've been kind of coasting, right? I mean, we've had some easy teams. I want to see Cats come up against some adversity and then overcome, like a little bit, kind of like Portland State. But yeah, I think turnovers are going to be key in that. I think we've got to continue to just be ball hawking. Jesse's out there. I'm predicting, you know, an interception from Troy Anderson, if not another guy. But the thing I would really, really want to see is Bronson Barron put on his back by Daniel Hardy, Ty Okada.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the Bobcats can get to the quarterback. I don't have the stats for how Weber State is doing protecting the quarterback, but their quarterbacks are – every quarterback I've seen play for Weber State this year basically is not very accurate and likes to – is more of a physical runner. They kind of like just to run the ball and get like 5 or 6 yards. So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to look, but if we can get to the quarterback, put him on his back, like you said, and make him force some errant throws, definitely I like the Bobcats' chance to win.
We're going to have to watch the seams, too. When I was watching on the Cal Poly Weber replay just the other night, they like to run the tight ends up the seams, and we played that cover 2 zone, and that's exactly where they could have success on that. So that's kind of a concern for me.
That's a concern, too. And the other thing that I watched a little bit of the Cal Poly Weber State game, just because it was, like you said, like probably the same reason you did, most like opponent, their most recent opponent. The first 2 plays of the game I saw, and something we harped on in one of our recap episodes, we've done so many episodes now, I'm starting to don't remember where we say things anymore, or if we said them offline. It's all blurring together at this point. But we talked about how the Cats' run defense is susceptible to stuff kind of bouncing on the outside or some counters. The first 2 plays I saw Weber State like ran the ball like kind of up the middle and bounced it outside and got like 12, 13 yard gains right off the bat. So, I mean, Josh Davis has that kind of speed. So that's my other kind of thing. You're talking about watch for those passes up the seam. I'm talking watch out for Josh Davis bouncing it outside. You got to keep contained. You got to keep your eye on him. We can't be sealed off on the edge like we were against that one drive against Northern Colorado. Like we got to play our gaps and stay gap sound.
Right on, man.
Gap sound.
Well, one of these years, we'll get Weber to come over to Bozeman again. Feels like it's been quite the time.
I believe 3 of the last 4 have been in Ogden.
I think we were supposed to have them in 2020, but that season got canceled. So here we are, going back to Ogden on a Friday night. I've never seen the Cats play on a Friday night. Maybe we had. No, I think we did have a... The Austin Peay game was on a Friday night. Yep.
Yes.
Austin
Peay
game
was
on a Friday night.
Playoff game. So okay, there you go. So, yeah, it's gonna be a battle, and I'm hoping that the Big Sky scheduling thing, moving forward, where they promise to have trips to and from places, and also maybe throw in an extra, don't make a team play on a Friday night against a team that's coming off a bye week next time, as well. Super. How important is this game for the Bobcats? We've talked a little bit about it. I'm just kind of sum it up.
Yeah, I think I've said it a couple times. I think this is exactly a huge game of consequence. I think this is an affirming game for the Bobcats if we win, no matter how we win. Because honestly, if we win, we're 6-1. We have 2 home games left that we should take care of business. You would think, against Idaho State in Idaho. That would put us playoff eligible. I'm assuming we're going to need 8 wins to get into the playoffs. Depends, really, honestly. But the other two teams we play are Eastern, which is like a really challenging game, and the Grizzlies, which you never know. I mean, it's a coin flip at this point. So, yeah, it's a big game. It really is a big game.
I think it's a huge game because obviously it doesn't eliminate you from the playoffs. It doesn't eliminate you from even a Big Sky Conference championship. But what it does is it relieves any sort of pressure from losing the game. Now you have to start. You can't have another letdown after that. So I think winning this game puts us in the best mid-season position that I can even remember since probably Denarius McGee era, where we'd be sitting 6-1. We'd finally have a really good win on the resume, although I guarantee that it will be downplayed with how bad Weber is this year and how down they are and blah, 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 and the Cats won't get much credit for it. Seems to be how things go. But it'll be our best win. It'll be our key victory against a ranked top 20 opponent. It would be huge just for the national landscape and people putting some more respect on MSU and our playoff resume. So in every way, shape, or form, it is a huge game. It's not a must-win game. I mean, if you're going with that phrase, coaches will tell you every game is a must-win game. But you know what I mean when I say that. So it's a huge game of consequence, like you said. I think it really sets us up well for the rest of the year. I think we have to have it.
Showdown in Ogden, man. Can't wait.
Wildcat showdown. They're just the general Wildcats. The Bobcats are a type of Wildcat. They're just more broad brush.
The feral cats.
Feral cats.
All right, man. Time to go.
Who's going to be the Bobcat player of the game?
Daniel Hardy. Or Jeff Manning.
What did I call him? Jeffy on the spot.
Jeffy on the spot. You know who else you have a big game? Some guy we haven't really talked about all that much who is a really good player. Trey Webb.
Yeah, Trey's been solid. Like he's a very good tackler. I think he's much more of a guy who's good in run support, which is going to be huge in this game. So I could see him having a solid game flying up there. Man, my pick's going to both of us want to go right to the defensive side. Troy Anderson. It's going to be my pick. His speed, he's not going to play. He's not going to come out in this first series of the third quarter, or even in the second quarter. He's going to be in the whole game, and we're going to see Troy stem to stern domination. Troy's my man.
He's not just going to be shaking hands on the sideline running for governor in the second half.
No.
What's your favorite nickname for Troy?
Currently, it's just "Hey Touchdown." Like, it's not really a nickname; it's just funny. Hey Touchdown.
I like the Golden Boy.
Golden Boy. I haven't heard him called like much of that. It's like the lure is kind of like just gone. The lore has kind of gone back to like normal this year. It's like no longer like Paul Bunyan exploits. He's just kind of a really good player now. I think it's kind of just settled. But yeah,
he's probably like top three famous person. I'm saying that wrong.
It's late.
In Montana, right?
It has to be. I mean, everyone knows Troy Anderson. Bobcat, Grizz, Montana Tech, and you probably don't even know sports. You probably know who Troy Anderson is. And now he's a credited actor. Probably got an IMDb page for that gig with Arbar.
He might be the most famous person in Montana.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Troy Anderson. Man. All right. Tony, let's go.
Let's go. All right. Man, so excited for this game, but let's get out of here. Please follow us on Twitter, RRCatCast. You can find us on the web, RRCatCast.com. I want to thank Jeremiah Johnson again for being our sponsor. Thanks again.
Dank Beers.
Dank. For our dank sponsor. I'd like to thank Colby Peterson for the Weber State Weekly Podcast for coming on this show and talking some Wildcat football because, it always makes us look smarter and better when people come on here so we don't have to figure out as much on our own. But let's get out of here with a very important game of importance. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.